Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur. Don't forget to click on the Daf option to see today's Tosfos marked using the popular Gemara Markings system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. We now turn to our Tosfos segment of our Shiur. You'll notice that on Daf Hey Amud Aleph there are no Tosfos commentaries. We therefore continue with Daf Hey Amud Beis at the top. Ha Lon V'ha Lahu. This was at a point in the Gemara that we were resolving what seemed to be a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan regarding the issue of Negoyim. Are they Isurin Shel Ava or not? Tosfos introduces this with Rashi's commentary. Pirush Rashi, Livnei Eretz Yisrael, for the dwellers, the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, Shetzrichem Shiluach Chutz L'Shloisho Machanois, Loi Havu Yisurin Shalavo. In Eretz Yisrael, a person who is afflicted by Negoyim, his affliction is dealt with by his being sent out of the three camps, which for our purposes means sent out of his community. If you're dealing with someone living in a walled city, he's sent out of his community. The Shalosh Machnos is an expression that's based on the Jews in the Midbar, where there was a Machne Shechina, Machne Levia, and Machne Yisrael, which represented the bulk of the Jewish community, and a Metzora was sent, Negoim is associated with Tzoras, was sent out of the three camps. So as far as Rashi is concerned, It's in Eretz Yisrael, it's not Yisurin Shel Ava insofar as they were dealt with through this approach, being sent out of the community. And bearing in mind that this is Rabbi Yochanan who is speaking. The Gemara, the Tosfos asks, V'teimo, d'shiluach machnos lo hoya noheg, elo bizman shehayovel noheg, ubote ore choyma. The rule of a Metzora being sent out of the community was binding only in the time that the Yovel was binding. And the whole practice of Yovel, of counting seven periods of Shemitah cycles, seven Shemitah cycles, concluding with a 50th year being called the Yovel year, and all of the accompanying halachas, this stopped being in practice already in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, so that when Yovel is no longer in practice and the rules of walled cities are no longer in practice, in the times of the Amoroim there was no Yovel practice, as it says over there in Gittin, V'heichoye medabu Rabbi Yochanan midavor shelohoye nohig biyomov. How could Rabbi Yochanan be speaking about something that wasn't practiced in his time whatsoever? Rabbi Yochanan being in the time of the Amoroyim, many, many years after the dinim of Yovel and Bote Orechoma stopped being practiced. So the question then is, according to the Tosfos, what is the difference between B'nai Eretz Yisrael and B'nai Bavel, Ha'lon V'Ha'lahu, for there is for us and there is for them. So the Tosfos explains, V'yesh Meforshim Ha'lon V'Ha'lahu Le'inyin Tuma Shinishoren B'Eretz Yisrael V'lo B'Bavel. So if a person was a Metzora, though he wasn't sent out of his community per se, but he still was Tomei, and the rules concerning ritual purity were still practiced in the time of the early Amoroyim, which is the time of Rabbi Yochanan. So that in Eretz Yisrael, where issues of purity must be maintained, so there we would say that Negoim is not Yisurin Shel Ava. However, in Bavel, where there is no other manifestation or practical bearing on Negoim, so one who's afflicted in Bovel with Negoim, we conclude it must be Yisurin Shel Ava. The next Tosfos, the Omar of Yochanan, Dein Gorama de Asira Bir. Rabbi Yochanan originally made a comment that Bonim are not Yisurin Shel Ava. Upon this, the Gemara asks, how can Rabbi Yochanan say that when he used to show the tenth bone or tooth of his son, of his tenth son? indicating that Rabbi Yochanan had buried 10 children, and he preserved the 10th son, the tooth, that is, or fragment of bone of that 10th child, to show people. The Rashi himself mentioned that how is this a sign of Yisurin Shalava? Well, it's because a man of that stature of piety, of Rabbi Yochanan, there is no other explanation for it other than the fact that that it must be Yisurin Shalava. Now, we have to bear in mind that after this, the Gemara went on to say, so then if burying children is not Yisurin Shalava, if burying children is Yisurin Shalava, as Rashi says, a pious man like Rabbi Yochanan, there's no other explanation for it, so then what's the case of the opening statement of Rabbi Yochanan that Bonim are not Yisurin Shalava? Well, that's a reference to people that never had children. Now, the Tosfos. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Dein Groma Dasi Rabir, Pirush Rashi, the La'odam Choshuv, Rabbi Yochanan Mistamo Lohoyu Elo Yisurin Shalava. For a person as righteous as Rabbi Yochanan, it must be that the death of his children was Yisurin Shalava. So that Rashi's proof is from the righteousness level of Rabbi Yochanan. That means that that which befell him must be Yisurin Shalava. The Tamar, the question though is raised. The Hamasik, the Gemara concludes, however, the Hecha de Lo Havu Le Bonim Klal, a person who had no children, Lo Havu Yisurin Shalava. Then that is not considered Yisurin Shalava. But now, what did Rashi emphasize? The proof was based on the piety level of the individual. Well, V'harei kama tzadikim shelo hoyu lohem bonim. There were many very pious people who had no children. So if the proof of something being Yisurin Shalava is a piety level, then it would come out that someone who had no children whatsoever also, that should be considered Yisurin Shalava. And yet the Gemara says that having had no children is not Yisurin Shalava. The E Mishum Bonos, and if you'll say that if a person has daughters, then the lack of male children is not considered Yisurin Shalava. That if a person has bonos, then the lack of Zechorim is not considered Yisurin Shalava. Well, Rabbi Yochanan Nami Havu Le Bonos. Rabbi Yochanan happened to have daughters, Beperek Basra the Kiddushin, as we see at the end of Maseches Kiddushin. Therefore, the fact that someone has daughters is not a basis for saying that you're dealing with non-Yisurin Shalava. V'nira lefaresh, dehochi porach. So the Tosfos explains that thusly we are to understand the Gemara's question when on the original statement of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Bonim are not Yisurin Shalava. The Gemara asks, V'om Rabbi Yochanan, Dein, Groma, this is, Rabbi Yochanan himself would show, this is the bone of my 10th son. Alma, midahave rogil l'nachem achirim b'kach. From the fact that he was accustomed to consoling others who lost their children, who buried their child, he would console them with the bone of the child, of his own child that he buried. Shma mino dahavu Yisurin Shalava. It must be that that is the consolation, by telling the bereaved individual that you should be aware that the trouble that you are, the pain that you are suffering is this very high level of pain called Yisurin Shalava. Aval eino tolui b'kach shat tzadikim atzmam pa'omim me'unin b'yisurin. But the establishing of whether or not something is yisurin shalva is not dependent whatsoever on piety level. The piety level and the person suffering is not a reflection upon the yisurin shalava aspect of things or not. Hochi Garcino, the next Tosfos, lo kol odom zeche l'shtei shulchanos. If you recall, in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan was trying to understand or console Rabbi Elazar, who was crying, and he noticed that Rabbi Elazar was a very impoverished individual. Rabbi Yochanan said, listen, not everyone merits both wealth and wisdom and Torah scholarship. That is the text as we have it. Aval ein ligros, Tosfos points out that you should not have the following text. Ein odom zoche. You shouldn't have a text which reads that a person does not merit both. Because the hakama tzadikim zochen l'shtei shulchanos, there were a number of righteous individuals who did have both. Kagon Rebbe, as one can learn about Rebbe in Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Pehe, Uchadamrinam, Beperek Basur Dehorius, and as is stated at the end of Maseches Horius, where you have tzaddikim that benefited from both great wealth and great Torah scholarship. However, at times, that's only at times. The Tosfos continues, Dino Belo Dino. When the Rabbonin visited Rav Huna, they said to him, after Rav Huna exclaimed, oh, am I suspect of some sinning, and as a result my wine went bad? So they responded to Rav Huna and said, is the Almighty suspect of bringing troubles on a person for no reason? Harbe tzadikim yesh sheloikin begufon uvememonam. The Tosfos says there are many people that are truly righteous that are afflicted bodily and financially, and not being associated with a sin per se. So what were they saying to Rav Huna when they said, well, would the Almighty bring troubles without reason? Elo hein hoyu yoidim shelo hoya noisein shavisha larisei. The visitors who came to Rav Huna, they knew as a fact that he wasn't distributing the branches to his sharecropper, as we explained, on time. So they attempted to hint to him. Their initial comment to him was, look into your ways. That was a hint to something they already knew, but they didn't want to tell it to him straight out. They tried to hint to him that he would pick up on it on his own. But after he didn't pick up on the hint, so they in fact said it straight out. But in the absence of, let's say, prior knowledge of a specific wrongdoing, and you see a tzaddik who is suffering, whether it be financially or bodily, you wouldn't necessarily go to him and say, look into your ways. As Tosfos says, there are situations of very pious individuals, and this relates to the general topic of Yisurin Shalava, of people experiencing pain and suffering, in order to grant them additional merit, but not a function of sin. Shelo Yehedover Chotzeitz Beino Levein Hakir. We saw in our Gemara that Abba Binyamin was very makbid on having on his davening being near his bed, and we explained it couldn't mean with the bed in front of him while he's davening. And that's what was meant, Shalehei Dovor Choseis, there should be nothing separating Beino, between the one who's davening, and the kir, the wall. Avol Milsa de Kviya Kagon Oron Veteva, something that's fixed in place. Often there are wall closets or built-in chests or things that are very rarely moved. They're positioned on a long term permanent basis. Could go on oron v'tevo ein ze hefsek. If one were to daven in front of a built-in wall closet or heavy chest of drawers or a bureau that one doesn't move, that would not be a hefsek, an interruption, an interposition. Avol mita, a bed nira she'ein ze kavua. A bed is not as permanent as a heavy bureau, and therefore the bed does present a hefsek problem. The next Tosfos, Ela Emo, Somuch Lemitasi. We saw that we understood Abel Ben Yomin, who said that he was mitzvah all his days, that his tefillah should be lifnei mitasi, really lifnei meant next to. What does that mean, next to? In terms of time, that as soon as he woke up, he would not engage in any other activity before he would say Kriya Shema and Shmoneh Esrei and Davin. So, Tosfos quotes Rashi, Shelo hoya oise molocho ad shiyispalel. He wouldn't engage in any work until he would Davin. V'Rashi pirish afil lumoid. Even Torah study he would not do before his davening. On this, Tosfos comments, "Velo yodati minole." I don't know from where does Rashi get that there is some type of prohibition to engage in Torah study before the before davening in the morning. Avol raya deshori lilmoid koidim. If anything, I can show you proof that it is one is allowed to learn Torah before Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. De lekamon beperek sheni amrinon, in the second parak of our Masechta, it is said, de rav makdim umoshi yode umavorech umasni pirkei v'kori Kriya Shema ki moto zman Kriya Shema, that rav would wake up, he would wash his hands, say brochus, and learn Torah. He would learn his Torah learning and then say Kriya Shema. Now, it can be explained possibly as the Mephoshim get into this topic, that there may very well be a difference between someone who wakes up before the Zman Kriya Shema has arrived at all, and of course under circumstances like that, one would certainly be allowed to study Torah. After all, what else do you expect of him to sit doing nothing? However, after, if one wakes up and it's already the time for Torah learning, the time for Kriya Shema has already arrived, so maybe under those circumstances, one would be expected to first engage in the Kriya Shema and then and the Shemoneh Esrei, and only then get into his Torah learning. But that topic can be investigated further by looking into the various Mephoshim. Another thing that Abel Ben Yomin practiced was the positioning of his bed. The Tosfos says, "Kol anoisei mitoso bein tzofon ledorom v'chulei, v'lo bein mizrach lemarov," and not in an east-west position. V'davko kishiyoshein im ishto. This requirement or expectation of having the bed positioned north-south is only when a man is with his wife. Mitnei shashchina mitzuya bein mizrach lemarov. The divine presence is located in an east-west position. V'yadavar g'nai lishka v'etzel ishto mitnei hatashmish. And it would be lacking in respect for a person to be engaged in intimacy in the same position as the Shechina, the Divine Presence, is located. V'chein mashma umuchi kroyin. Thusly, it seems that the whole point of being careful about bed positioning and sleep is only when one is with his wife. And thusly, it would seem to be evident from the psukim as well. There is a Tosfos on Daf Vov Amud Aleph, which is out of place. It belongs on Daf Hei Omid Beis, and it concerns the Gemara at the very bottom of Daf Hei Omid Beis. One who finishes davening and while his friend is still davening, and leaves the friend alone in the shul. So the Tosfos at the top of Daf Vov, Hamispalel v'lo himtin es chavero, a person who finishes davening and doesn't wait for his friend to finish and leaves him behind. Torfino, the Gemara said, his Shmona Esri is davening, his prayers are torn up. Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, dezeh hoyo lohem bebotei kneisil shelahem, this requirement of staying and waiting for your friend, not leaving him alone, was relevant to shuls that were in the times of the Gemara, Shehayu Basodeh. They were shuls that were located in the fields. They were not in town. Ulekach balaylo yesh lahamtin, and therefore, at night, there is reason to wait. Now, this comment of Tosfos regarding the nighttime, it could be taken to understand that this applies even for us, where our shuls are in town, that namely under when you're coming to the issue of the night, where there are very few people around, then you have to wait regardless of where the shul is located. Even if the shul is in town, one would be expected to wait. And so that's what Tosfos is meaning when it says ulekach, and therefore, just like their shuls were located in the fields and you were always alone if you you were the field, the shul was located in an uninhabited area, so too it applies to us when it comes to the nighttime when you would leave shul and it would be the streets would be empty. You therefore have to wait. We also have to wait. For we hoya ma'acher tfilasa umarich ad she yetsu kulam, the re would daven a long davening, making sure that everyone else would leave the shul. And if in the interim someone would come to shul, he'd come late to shul, and the re would have finished davening, he would look in a sefer, he would learn until those people who came late, would finish their davening, so as not to leave them alone. And it is fitting for us to extend ourselves in that way as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.